This morning's reading is taken from Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. And he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Bruce.
It seems that celebration is just part of life. Whether it is birthdays, wedding anniversaries, passing your driving test, exam results, Christmas or Easter, we can find any excuse for a celebration. Celebrations usually involve people or food, with presents sometimes thrown in for good measure. And we find easy excuses to celebrate, especially the good things of life. However, celebrations are more than the things we do, because to celebrate in the end is an attitude of the heart. We can all go through the motions of celebrating, doing the right things at the right time, like getting a card for someone, pulling the string of the party popper, eating the cake. It's all okay, but if our hearts aren't in it, we will not be celebrating. When you really want to celebrate, it's easy, it's natural. It flows from how you feel. I remember when I passed my driving test at the second attempt. It was great. I wanted to celebrate. It helped that I had a car waiting for me to drive, but there was that feeling of elation when you did it. But there are other less significant celebrations we see in life, like scoring a goal, taking a wicket, seeing your team win. You see Jude Bellingham with his arms outstretched after scoring a goal. You see the joy on his face. Pete hasn't got a clue who I'm talking about. You see Ben Stokes with his bat aloft at Headingley in 2019. There's a feeling of joy and celebration on his face. But you don't even have to be the person scoring the goal or scoring the runs to celebrate. If you've ever been in a sporting stadium where your team has done well, scored a try, taken a wicket, celebration erupts spontaneously. Celebration is a heart response to something good happening. But what is there to celebrate in church? What is there to celebrate in the Christian life? Well, celebration is supposed to be at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. Not celebration in the sense that it's an endless procession of happiness and undiluted joy, but it's about a life lived in celebration of all that God has done for you in Jesus. A life lived differently because of God's faithful grace. Celebration is at the heart of loving God. As followers of Jesus, you are to celebrate the wonder of Jesus coming to earth as a human. We are to celebrate that Jesus died on the cross to overcome the power of sin in our lives. We are to celebrate that Jesus didn't stay dead, but instead rose to new life on the third day to show us that we can find a new life in him. We are to celebrate that Jesus is going to come back to finish his great work in renewing the whole of creation. Our whole lives are to be lived in celebration of what Jesus has done, is doing, and will do for us. It's not always going to be a party popper type of celebration. Sometimes it will be a slog, sometimes it will be hard, sometimes it will feel, as Eugene Peterson calls it, a long obedience in the same direction. Our celebration will at the end be an attitude of the heart. A thanksgiving that recognises that Jesus has made the biggest possible difference in our lives. A thanksgiving that endures even through the most difficult times. A thanksgiving that may not even take the suffering we experience away, but a thanksgiving that helps us see our way through the pain. The circumstances of life may not mean that we feel like jumping up and down and punching the air in celebration for all that Jesus has done for us all the time. Because there will be times in our life when all we can do is cry. But the attitude of worship, of loving God, that we are to cultivate is about recognizing what God has done for us in Jesus is something that can aid us in the midst of all the circumstances of life. The song that we often sing, Blessed Be Your Name, expresses this. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. It's a song that means a lot to many people. It's one of those rare songs in modern Christian worship repertoire that reflects the difficult side of life as well as the good side. Most of our worship songs are up songs, which is right and proper in many respects, but they don't necessarily reflect the true nature of life and its rich tapestry. We don't always come to church when we're feeling on top of the world. And blessed Be Your Name is a song that can maybe speak to us as much in the down times as it does in the up times. And it's as much a song of celebration as any other, because it celebrates that God is always with us, both in times of plenty and in the desert times. Loving God through celebration is not about wild parties, but it's about cultivating a thankful spirit within us. For all that God has done, all he is doing, and all he will do. Celebration as loving God is about acknowledging who God truly is in the midst of life, declaring the truth about him, whether we are happy or sad. Our reading from Psalm 148 is one of the five Hallel Psalms that are found at the end of the Psalter in our Bibles. And these five psalms are all about celebrating who God is and what he has done for his people. And all five of these psalms have as their opening words, praise the Lord, which in the English translation of the Hebrew words, hallelujah, which we often call hallelujah. And it is in the praise of the Lord God Almighty is the heart of what these five psalms are about. And Psalm 148 follows on from these opening words of praising the Lord to describe how the heavens are praising God. And then it moves on to describe how all the earth and its inhabitants are praising God, eventually reaching humans in verse 11. Humanity stands alongside the whole of the created order in their worship of God. In the hierarchy of things, there is God, and then everything else. As the writer of Ecclesiastes says, God is in heaven, and you are on earth. There is a right relationship that we share with the whole of creation and God. And that right relationship is best described in worship and praise. And the psalmist here doesn't specify that we need to sing our praise to God. Because how would all of these inanimate things that the psalm describes be able to worship God if it was all about singing? Wouldn't be able to, they can't even say words. No, the praise here for the psalmist is something more fundamental, something more rooted. Your very existence is supposed to be your praise and thanksgiving. Here, the praise of God is about declaring what is right and true about the Creator and King of the universe. True praise requires us to know who God is rightly. Acknowledge who God really is. And in the same way, acknowledge who we really are in our relationship with God. Acknowledging God is God. Proclaiming that simple but profound truth is worship. And it celebrates who God really is. And in praise, we are reorientating our lives to the truth of God and moving away from all those false narratives that the world says are the truth. Worship. Loving God as celebration is about declaring what we know to be true about God, the God who loves us and what he has done for us. However, we are fickle in our lives of worship, fickle in our love of God. And we can gather here on a Sunday morning. We can proclaim our love and our worship of God together. But as soon as we leave this building, it can become difficult. We can go out and seek to live the rest of our lives for God, but that faint flame that we hold when we are here can easily dissipate, can flicker out. There can be little evidence at times in our lives that our gathered worship has made any difference to our scattered lives in the rest of the week. How the reorientation of our lives to the truths of God has really impacted us. And the challenge for us then is to take our worship of God, our loving of God, our existence of praise and celebration outside the four walls of the church and to be set free into the rest of our weeks. Not only the moments of each day when we maybe pray and read our Bibles, but all the other moments of our existence. The love of God from one Sunday to the next will come from us rooting our lives in those truths about God, in knowing that God is present with us in all that we do, that God cares about all that we do, that our daily lives between one Sunday and the next have value to God. Our loving of God as celebration has as much to do with our home lives, our work lives, our family lives, as it does with our times gathered here on a Sunday morning. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, repeats some of the same words we had at the beginning of our service. But he follows them up by writing this: and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. All our life can be lived in an attitude of thanksgiving and celebration to God because we acknowledge the profound truth of who God is and what he has done for us in Jesus and the way we live every day. We can recognize that the whole of life, its resources, opportunities and blessings come from God. We can acknowledge that God is the source of all things, so he is to be the focus of our day-to-day thanks and celebrations. And our thanks and celebration will be seen simply in the way we live our lives. Right living can equal right worship, which equals our loving of God. But we do find it difficult to live rightly, to live in the way that God desires for us to live. And it's probably good to remember that word sacrifice that Paul used in our reading from Romans last week. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. To live rightly for God as worship will be a sacrifice. It will be difficult. Everyone else might be doing it, but it doesn't mean that this is the way that God has called you to live. living sacrificially means that our whole lives are offered to God in worship, giving up as much as doing. Eugene Peterson paraphrases these words of Paul in the Message in a way that sums up things well. Take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. We give it all to God, all of our life, as an act of worship. The writer of the book of Hebrews says of this Christian's sacrifice of daily worship, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly professes his name, and do not forget to do good and share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. This sacrifice of daily worship is with the words of our mouth, the fruit of our lips. The words we use day by day, words that honour God, words that build each other up rather than knock people down. Words that build community rather than drive people apart. However, the writer to the Hebrews says it's not only our words, it's also about going and doing good, sharing with others. A response of worship that comes with our hands as well as our mouths. Worship with our hands in the midst of the people we live and work with. It's about worship with our whole of our lives. It's about celebrating that we are living as redeemed children of God in the way that we live. This is how we show we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. One simple way that we can intentionally celebrate all that God has done for us in our lives is the practice of counting our blessings. Taking stock of all the things that God has faithfully done for you in your life each day. List them if that helps. Each day God is at work providing us for us and sustaining the cosmos. Each day we can turn to God and know him and be known by him. From the large to the small, God blesses us. And far too often we take all these things for granted. And even in our darkest places, there are good things that we can experience in our lives. Love, gentleness, compassion, and all of these are gifts from God. The discipline of giving thanks for all God's blessings can help us celebrate all that he does for us in our lives. We can develop a thankful spirit within us that recognizes all that God has done, is doing, and will do. It's about paying attention to the detail of your life. It's an exercise in seeing the widespread mercy of God in your life. This may be the beauty of a sunrise that you see as a blessing. That special moment of God's blessing. Something that makes you laugh. Or just ice cream. That's your blessing from God that day. But they're all something to praise God for. Something worth celebrating the gracious provision of God in your life. Grateful praise can then become a habit in our lives. And as St. Augustine said, we will become a hallelujah from head to toe. Developing the art of celebration in our lives as followers of Jesus is something that we can all work towards. We can all show through our living our thanksgiving for the new life we have in Jesus. Our lives in that sense can become spontaneous eruptions of praise, showing a natural response to God's loving grace. Celebration is to be a response of our love of God, a way we show just how much God's love for us means in our lives, a response to something good happening. So go and celebrate the goodness of God in your life. Embrace the attitude to living that says, "Blessed be your name." Whatever the circumstances you find yourself in, be thankful for all that God has done for you in Jesus. Let's pray. when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be, blessed be your name. And blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Amen.